No, only I've just been up at the hospital. Arnold, the town clerk, well, part-time, has been giving out the long service medals to some of the old people. They're a cheerful bunch up there, and why not? They're giving the pension a right bashing. Some of them have been there so long they've forgotten how old they are. I mean, if you're still drawing disability money from the Boer War, you must be quidsing. Arnold, well, he's become a bit of a hero up there. It was all an accident. His doctor thought his heart had stopped. Arnold's, I mean, not the doctor's. He'd have noticed that, being fairly young. As I said to Rita, the wife, you know. You don't? Well, it doesn't matter. Yes, I said, once the old ticker starts stopping, you're in dead trouble. You see, all of us who've known Arnold, man and boy scout, we know that he often looks half dead. It's nothing to worry about. It's just his way. He relaxes well, does Arnold. He never lets anything worry him, not for years, not since liver and bacon rationing. The vicar used to send his new curates round to practice the last rites on Arnold, and most of them never spotted the difference. You see, Arnold's wife, Clara, she can go on a bit, well, more than a bit. And Arnold has developed the habit of slipping into a trance like they do in India when they hammer nails into people without them taking any notice. Well, this new young doctor hadn't seen Arnold before, and fair enough, he was a bit puzzled when he couldn't feel his pulse. Arnold's, I mean, not the doctor's. 5 minutes later, he saw Arnold large as life in the pub over the road, eating pork pie and chips. So, more out of fun than curiosity, this doctor sent Arnold along to the hospital for a second opinion. Well, they weighed him and x-rayed him and took some of his blood. Not much, in fact. When they saw the colour of it, they put most of it back. And then they got him running on this moving belt, which shows whether your heart is working all right. A pen traces a graph on a piece of paper. It's a bit like a worm crawling over the Himalayas. And a doctor sat there watching it to see if there was any sign of life. The trouble was that he was called away. I think it was something to do with his car. It was parked in the wrong bay. It was barring the entrance to maternity. I know it must have been important. So he went out in a hurry. The doctor, I mean, not Arnold. He was still stepping out like a good'un. Well, there must have been a big argument about the car or whatever it was. You know how things to do with cars can get heated. Anyway, on the way back, this doctor had a heart attack and collapsed in the corridor, right in front of the League of Friends trolley shop. And what with all the fuss of getting him off on the stretcher and ringing his wife to fetch his medical card and altering the duty rota, everybody forgot about Arnold. As he said, he thought there was something funny going on when it began to get dark. And then the machine ran out of paper and started making gasping noises itself. And it was so quiet, as though the whole place had been deserted. You see, nobody had told him to stop running, and he thought there was a good chance of breaking his ankle if he jumped off while the thing was moving. By the time the cleaners found him, he'd run the marathon. Well, when this all got round, Arnold became something of a celebrity. The old people wanted his autograph, and he had to give interviews. He gets vitamin pills to try and jelly to rub under his arms to stop him getting sore. And all the excitement, well, it hasn't changed him a bit. In fact, when he was being interviewed on the Live Wires programme on the television, he went straight off to sleep, just like he does in The Dog and Pullet when it's his turn to buy a round. It's going to take more than vitamin pills to keep Arnold on his feet. And the doctor, the one who collapsed over the car parking business, well, he's up and about again. Arnold wheels him about in the grounds when he's got an odd minute. The whole affair with Arnold becoming the over-65 moving belt marathon champion has raised all kinds of arguments about being fit and well. You see, if you take Arnold, well, you wouldn't. He always looks as though he's been dug up by mistake in a churchyard. But he turns out to be a good example of general fitness. He may look like a pair of braces tied up with string, but if you can get him going, he goes like a human dynamo. I know you can't get him going, but if you could, it's because he's saved himself. He's never made an effort in his life. He doesn't really care if it's Christmas or Easter. So he's got all his energy stored up, untapped, as you might say, ready to be drawn on in an emergency. The government have been going on a bit about heart attacks lately. It's smoking and drinking and eating and, above all, worry. Oh, well, that's Richard, that is, who causes more worry than the government. The government are a constant worry. As Rita says, if they want to stop people worrying, they could stop sending out the bills. The rates and the water, the gas and electricity. That's what causes people to worry all the time. Rita says if the government were really keen on reducing worry, they could do away with fares on buses and trains and have free telephone calls. What about free holidays and houses and doing away with the rent and mortgages? That'd stop a lot of people from worrying. It's all very well blaming beer drinkers. Charlie Bates passed out in the local, but it weren't anything to do with the beer. It was because it had gone up another 5p a pint. People keep getting shocks like that. What can you expect? So thoughtless. Charlie's whole economy is geared to the price of a pint. And then he had to have a brandy, which he thought was from the first aid box, but it wasn't. And nobody else had seen a St. Bernard come in. But Charlie really went under when the council said they were selling off his allotment. Well, it wasn't just his allotment. They sold off a whole field of allotments. But Charlie took it bad. He had a little shed down there where he had a little snooze while he watched the mustard and cress growing. It wasn't as if they wanted it for a motorway or one of those out-of-the-way shopping centres. No, they wanted it for a frozen food store. As Charlie said, when he came round, he was growing the stuff fresh. All his beans and peas being ploughed up to bring in frozen beans and peas from abroad. Eat fresh fruit and vegetables, they keep saying. Fact is, they've grown so much of it they're having to store it in frozen dumps. Well, if it had been Arnold, he'd have taken it in his stride, but Charlie, well, he's a natural-born worrier, and it knocked him all of a heap. Don't try and make sense of it, I said. It's better if you don't. All the arrangements are out of control. I told Rita, I said, Charlie's having a heart attack over his allotment. Tell him to make a stinging nettle poultice, she said. Sometimes I wonder why I bother. He'll have to go in, I said, to see if he's up to it. Up to what, she said. I don't know, I said. It's none of my business. If Charlie goes in, I might call him for a hand of crib, but I don't want to get involved. While he's in there, Rita said, they could give him a brain transplant. It's got to be an improvement, I said. I'm not saying he couldn't do with it, but I don't think they do that sort of thing, not since Dr. Frankenstein retired. They do, Rita said. Look at Gladys's Bert. Yes, well, I said, you've got a point there. Gladys is Rita's sister and Bert is the reason why we don't go round there very often. He's a great thinker, is Bert. Never says anything, just thinks. He only went in for a plastic ulcer, Rita said, and look what happened. When they get you under, you don't know what's going on. But how can you tell, I said. He was always short of a copper or two, was Bert. Look at the time when he bought a share in a giraffe in a pub. Gladys can tell, Rita said. He's different. He's quite nice now, is Bert. He brings things home, flowers and soap. Soap, I said. Why, haven't they got any soap round there? It's not for washing, Rita said. It smells nice. Oh, I see, I said, just for sniffing. He has to go back for a checkup, Rita said, every 3 months. But surely, I said, they can't check up on his brain. They don't say anything about that, Rita said. They say it's for the plastic ulcer, but they tune in to see if his brain's working. They'll be lucky if there's anyone at home, I said. The last time he went to hospital, he didn't go there, Rita said. You've lost me now, I said. He went to hospital, but he didn't go there. You have to say it's slow to get the full flavour of it. He went off all right, Rita said, but he didn't get there. I can understand the going off bit, I said. I don't want to pry into his affairs, but where did he go then? Nobody knows, said Rita. But why? Why doesn't somebody ask him? Not much point, is there, Rita said, if he's using someone else's brain. It's like going round in circles. Do you mean, I said, that sometimes Bert is wandering around not knowing who he is? You do surprise me. Well, it was tempting fate. I'd hardly finished speaking when the telephone rang. It was Gladys to say that Bert had gone off again. Gone off where? I said. I shouldn't have asked. Down to the hospital, Gladys said, to find out who he is. But I said, I'm a fool for bothering. Who does he think he is? If he knew that, he'd be all right, Gladys said. I mean, If he was Napoleon, I could be Lady Hamilton. Josephine, I said. No, she said, I don't think he thinks he's a woman. So it was bolting the tea straight down and hurrying up round to the casualty in the hospital. Of course, by the time we got there, nobody had seen him. Maybe he's gone somewhere else, Rita said. Yes, I said, to the dogs. It's all right for you, Rita said. You're not wandering around out of your mind. It won't be long, I said. So we rolled up at the inquiry desk and started to fill the form in, but it was hopeless. What's his name? Said the woman behind the desk. We don't know that, Rita said. He's not sure now. If we knew his name, we wouldn't be here, would we, Glad? No, said Gladys. The hospital should have told him when they switched him about. The woman tore up the form and went away. I'll wait outside, I said. Hospitals make me nervous. I only came to visit Charlie and he had me down for an operation. It seems to me, said Rita, that you've got to be at death's door before anyone bothers with you. Yes, said her sister Gladys. They've got all his records. They must know who he is. It's just influence, I said. Birds hasn't got any. Well, we sat there for 3 hours. I was for leaving. After all, we'd read all the magazines and had our tea and biscuits. I nipped out for a breath of fresh air and found Bert walking up and down the car park. Hey, I said, we've been looking for you. A right dance you've led us. Oh, it's all right, Bert said, rolling up his trousers as though he was going paddling. They never did anything to me brain, you know. Oh, good, I said. Wait a minute, that makes you responsible for your own actions. I don't tell Gladys, he said. Sometimes I feel like drifting off, and if she thinks I'm somebody else, she can't touch me. And then I come down here, and they can't remember. They can't, I said. No, said Bert, they're always swapping things over from one to another. Sometimes, Bert said, they have bits over. You're making it up, I said. That means that somebody's going around short. I wouldn't be surprised, said Bert. That's how they keep people coming back. Some people can finish up being more of other people than they are themselves. But what happens if you're insured? I said, do they pay out? Bound to, said Bert. Third party, you see. This operation they were going to give me, he said, if I had to pay, it would cost £3,000. So I took the money instead. I looked at him. He seemed quite normal, but then he always looks like that. Are you going to wait for Gladys? I said, no, he said, I don't want to spoil her fun. We've still got time, I said, if we hurry. What for? He said, and I knew he was a goner. Come on, I said, fetch your lead. I'll take you along by the river. They won't find you there, and if they do, with any luck, it'll be too late.